And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Our DDD devotional diamond of the day. That which we pull out of scripture and try to utilize, applying it to our lives. That which becomes bold as I read it. The title, The Crushing Rock. The Crushing Rock. Plus, we examine the idea of different types of Christians. That's a challenge. And the good news from the worldly. And then finally, we close out with, is there a better gospel?
David Spoon's life has been an experience. Growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Christ, and his life turned around. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experience with as many people as he could. Then he found K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics? No. Entertainment and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities. And oh no, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 866-577-2473-866-K-PRAISE. Any topic is, of course, technically open for conversation because it's not professional radio, it's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on K-PRAISE, AM 1210, the Christian station in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back, but stand by for SRN News.
From the San Diego studios of K-PRAISE, 1210 AM, KPRZ, this is the David Spoon Experience.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. President-elect Donald Trump names former Republican Senator Dan Coats of Indiana to serve as Director of National Intelligence.
The former senator retired this month from the U.S. Senate after deciding not to seek re-election. As Director of National Intelligence, Coats would become Donald Trump's top advisor on intelligence matters. In addition, he would oversee U.S. intelligence agencies. Coats would step into the role at a time when U.S. intelligence efforts are being intensely scrutinized amid the Russian hacking scandal during the presidential election.
Correspondent Linda Kenyon. Four black people were charged with hate crimes Thursday in connection with a video broadcast live on Facebook that showed a mentally disabled white man being beaten and taunted, threatened with a knife, and forced to drink from a toilet. Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson says his investigators had to compile the facts in order to charge the four defendants with a hate crime, based on the live stream of the beating they boasted on Facebook.
There was never a question whether or not this incident qualified to be investigated as a hate crime. But as I said yesterday, we need to base the investigation based on facts and not emotion.
In addition to hate crimes, the four are charged with kidnapping, aggravated battery, and aggravated unlawful restraint. Three were charged with burglary. Winter storm watches are being issued for parts of the southeast for late Friday and early Saturday. Lead forecaster Michael Schichtel says travel conditions will be rough across the southeast starting Friday night.
For any of the snow systems and ice systems that can affect the southeast, it's going to cause significant travel problems, travel restrictions.
Forecasters predict a wintry mix for places like Atlanta. Schichtel also predicts that the mountain chains from the northwest to northern California will get back-to-back major storms through the weekend. On Wall Street, the Dow down by 43 points, the Nasdaq rose 11, the S&P dropped 2, oil up to $53.76 a barrel. This is SRN News.
There, all done with the roof.
You call that a roof? You need to call Eric at Excalibur Roofing to get the job done right. Excalibur Roofing, they know how to do a roof right.
What's this?
It's a cell phone.
What's a cell phone?
Never mind. Just dial these numbers. 760-743-8803. That's 760-743-8803. 8803 and ask Eric at Excalibur Roofing to help you with your roof. His work is good. He even gives free estimates.
What's an estimate?
He also has a website on the internet, ExcaliburRoofing.com.
What's an internet?
Are you done loading the animals into the yard?
Not yet. By the way, why am I doing this again?
How long can you tread water?
Right.
This is Mark Davis from 660 AM The Answer in Dallas-Fort Worth for townhall.com. With the holiday season behind us, the new year quickly getting started, we wonder what's in store for 2017. Any year is best defined by events in our families, our friendships, our faith, and our livelihoods, and not as much by events in the news, even elections. Many of us have counted numerous personal blessings even during the politically insufferable Obama era. Even as we await a new president and a new administration, we don't pretend that the coming year will be free of challenges, personal or political. But for those of us who value liberty, security, and constitutional governance, the horizon looks promising. A President Trump, along with a GOP House and Senate, stands to bolster the Supreme Court, improve our immigration policies, and free our economy from excessive taxes and regulation. The administration taking shape has been a pleasant surprise to many. 2017 may turn out to be a happier year, politically speaking, than any of us thought we could expect. I'm Mark Davis.
My name is Dale Pazinski. I volunteer with United Way to help the homeless in my community learn computer skills and build a basic resume. I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at K-Praise, AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. I do want to let you know if you want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com is an excellent way to go about that. I want to give a big shout out to all the people that reached out to me in the last month. I really do appreciate it. It's very cool to get letters of encouragement, even questions about some of the DDDs and trying to get some follow-up. Always welcome to do that. We've said this multiple times on the show. We have kind of a unspoken vision. We don't say it quite the same all the time, but really we're looking to encourage, we're looking to entertain, we're looking to educate, and we're looking to do one real specific thing, and that is help people draw closer to the Lord and to one another, in whatever capacity that is. We just think it's a lot of fun to be able to do it on radio. So we have a good time. We do it best we can. You're going to find out this series of teachings is a little like camping. A little like camping. You want to know why it's a little like camping? Tugboat Ty, you looking for this? Ready? You want to know why? Now you'll
Ready.
Say, okay, what? I'm sorry. I should have told you I was going to ask you something. That's my fault.
This button's sticking.
It is. It does stick from time to time. You need to have Craig use that little hot thing. Or the little air thing. But anyway, you want to know why this is like camping?
Why?
Because it's like intense. Every night but Monday. We're dark on Mondays, twice on Saturdays. I'm kidding. All right. Here it is. Here's the first one. This is going to really set this up, so you better get ready because I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just using script, just using the word, okay? But tell Ron to move on. The Crushing Rock is the title of this. I don't know. It sounds like, you know, what does that sound like to you? Does it sound like crushing rock?
Well, it does sound a little bit like thunder, but when rocks crush and do a rock slide,
right, it
sounds
again.
Like thunder.
Let me hear it. Let me hear it one more time. Yeah, I can go with it. All right, the crushing rock. Here we go. Don't get mad at me. I didn't write the book. All this material, at least 2,000 years old. Here we go. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 through 8 says this. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. Oh, I can just hear right now in the audience, you know, what about free will? You know, predestination, election, foreknowledge. Okay, let's do this. Let's read the scripture and use what we can from it instead of trying to infer different doctrines from it, because that will help us understand something that maybe we didn't catch in that. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe. So this is for people that don't believe. Got it. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Anybody ever heard of a church? Church is called cornerstone, or talking about the cornerstone? Very common. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. For a lot of people that don't know, this is one of the titles of Jesus Christ, but I have never heard of a church titled this. Have you ever heard of a church called Cornerstone? There are different movements, different
yes,
churches. A lot of time, right? Well, that is one of the titles. Here's another title. The cornerstone is also called a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. I've never heard a church called the rock of offense. That's one of the titles for Jesus. I just don't know if it's great for marketing. But I'm just saying it's one of the titles. I put under here in my notes an uncommon and underused title for Jesus. There is this mentality that Jesus came and he was a hippie and he wore a toga and he wore sandals and he smoked dope and he had flowers in his hair and he had a big peace sign on his chest. That is nowhere. Okay. That is in the 60s. That's with Timothy Leary dropping acid and giving it to other people who dropped acid and then fell down, hit their face on a Bible and then made that stuff up. Because it never existed before those times, okay, ever. Nobody ever thought of Jesus as a hippie until Timothy O'Leary came around with LSD. Here's the bottom line. One of the titles of Jesus is the Rock of Offense. It's like, well, no, he's everything about Jesus is peace. It's like, no. In fact, Matthew chapter 10, verse 38, Jesus said, I have come to bring a sword and not peace. Nobody, you don't want to quote that because it's not marketable or it doesn't sound good. Well, as soon as you're doing your faith because it sounds good, recognize that Jesus you're following is not the Jesus of the Bible. Jesus did say there would be other Christs, but that's not him. Oh, yeah, there's other Christs. I mean, Jesus made it clear. Other people claiming to be Messiah, other people claiming to be him. But Jesus Christ is God's Messiah to the world. There's a big difference. Now, why are these people in such a position where Jesus is considered the rock of offense? What's the reason? The reason is simple. They stumble because they disobey the word. They don't like the word. The word of God is horrible to those who are stumbling and to those who are perishing. The cross is foolishness to them that perish. This whole gospel thing is nutsy cuckoo if you're an unbeliever, if you're one who is going to perish. Now, might they get saved between now and the time Jesus returns? I hope so. But there's a movement in the church that goes, oh, everybody's either saved or not yet saved, and that exists nowhere in Scripture because you are either saved or not saved. You are either acknowledging God's testimony or rejecting God's testimony, and if you go all the way through your life and reject God's testimony, you are going to be separated from God for all eternity. Sorry. And people, and I've had this conversation, people say, what about people that never hear the gospel? Well, first and foremost, don't you think God is fair and just? Can't you trust that his procedures will be appropriate? That's number one. Number two, isn't Jesus the light of the world? So if somebody has that light somewhere, we might understand that that's Christ. But most importantly, and number three, is there this mindset for you that you are now all of a sudden concerned about some person who lives in another country who never heard the gospel? You won't send them $10, but now you really care about their salvation because from a theological point of view, you want to justify your position. But your concern is so deep, you won't learn their names. But you're just worried that God's going to jip them. Yeah, sure. You see, we see through things like that and go, that's just ridiculous. Come on. You don't trust that God is fair and just, knows how to do it, whatever the application is, however it goes down, whatever he does, you don't have confidence in him? I do. I trust his mercy. I trust his grace. I trust his judgment and his justness and his justice. But don't start laying out these, you know, what about this little girl? Like, well, go do something. Go sponsor her and then tell her the gospel. And that will be your answer. Because if she rejects it, it's still a rejection of Christ. Period. And they disobey, and they can't be Christians, by the way, without following Christ's words. I just want to make sure that we all understand this. I'm so sick of this. This idea, well, these people are Christian, but they reject the Bible. That's like saying you can spell Christmas without Christ. You can't. Okay, I know you want to. No, Dave, see, look, Xmas. Nice try, even though that's the Greek word or the Greek letter for the rendition, but that doesn't matter. Just spell Christmas without Christ. Oh, I know, G-O-I-N-G-T-O-H-E-L-L. That's the only way that's going to work. Now, here's the bottom line. Some people, although we don't know who, will make a decision to reject the cornerstone. And Jesus will be a rock of offense. And that's terrible. And I have said this in the past. I'm super sorry God didn't choose you. But if you make a decision to reject Christ, it's a decision you make. And what I want Christians to understand is sometimes the presentation of the gospel is not all flowers, not all pretty. It's not Jesus, not a hippie. It's just the truth. You can either accept God's truth or reject it. He owes no man anything, let alone an explanation, as though some man is going to come before God and say, explain yourself. How ridiculous. We either catch into his program or we catch a wave going the wrong direction. And that's it. Make a choice. Just make a good choice. Now, we come back, I want to look at that a little closer because I want to talk about the reality that there's a presentation of different types of Christians. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on K-Praise AM 1210, the Christian station in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. Now it's breaking me in two. I'll
give this broken heart to you. The David Spoon Experience continues on K-Praise 1210 AM KPRZ.
The people of Uganda need the gospel. New believers need churches, and these churches need pastors. I'm Pastor Onesmus Ngoboka, a graduate of Southern California Seminary. I'll return to Uganda to start a Bible school so I can pass on biblical training to other pastors who will start new churches. Whitefields has joined me in this vision to provide support for pastors planting churches in the villages of Uganda. Because Whitefields understands no pastor should be a stranger, they are supporting local pastors to reach our own people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Will your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities? Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
Does somebody need your help today? Are you listening to the prompting of God? Hi, I'm Chuck Swindoll. God commands that we reach out, accept, and affirm one another. Think about that. Reaching out, accepting, affirming. This means that we consciously resist that strong current of the stream we are in, the one that dictates all those excuses. I'm just too busy, or, well, it's not worth the risk. Could be dangerous. Or if I reach out, he may take advantage of me. We've been deluded into believing that we really shouldn't concern ourselves with being our brother's keeper. Who really needs our help anyway? I'll tell you who. Just about every person you meet.
Pastor and teacher Chuck Swindoll. Visit Insight for Living's website at insight.org.
This is John MacArthur inviting you to join me for Portraits of Grace. One day when John Wesley was away from home, someone told him his house had burned down. Wesley replied, "No, it hasn't, because I don't own a house." the one I've been living in belongs to the Lord, and if it has burned down, that's one less responsibility for me. You see, Wesley viewed his material possessions from a biblical perspective. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. God is the owner of everything, including you, your family, your house, your car, everything. If you lose a possession, you don't really lose it because you never really owned it. But God also expects you to be a wise steward of what He owns and gives you to use. Make sure you handle those possessions in a way that honors Him.
The David Spoon Experience continues on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at K-Praise, AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. I need to say this because I know people... they get, you know, it gets a little uptight sometimes. Hey, I'm not trying to, you know, cut people's heads off here. That's not the goal. But I am trying to make a point. And sometimes when I make a point, as most people know, I get a little, what's the word? Animated, excited, committed. I mean, that's part of what it is. And so recognize that if anybody feels, oh, well, that's really a hard way to say it. The intent is not to say it hard. The intent is to communicate the point. Like what Dizzy Dean said, try and pay attention to what I'm saying, not how I'm saying it. That's a good point. You can't get away from that. I do want to get into this next section, and I'll tell you what happened, and then you can decide whether it's the Lord or not. I cannot speak in that venue publicly the way that I think it is in my heart or in my spirit, but I was putting together the DDD from yesterday. And or that I was just did, the one that we just talked about, the crushing rock. And then as I was putting it together this morning, I came across this other teaching that I did on the show like 3 years ago, and they just meshed. And I thought, wow, what if the Lord wants me to kind of use both? And that then is the intent of communicating what I'm about to communicate. So we did talk about the crushing rock, and I just wanted you to understand that there's a reality that Jesus is the cornerstone. For some people who reject the Word of God, there is a, you know, there's an understanding that they're going to kind of go in the, you know, a different direction. They're going to choose against. Here, let's just do this real fast. I want to talk about the different types of Christians that seem to present themselves in our country. And we're going to do it kind of quickly because I'm going to get into the definitions in the next segment. I really like this. I'd really like you to hear this, right? Here's the type of Christians that I've been able to identify so far in my short journey in America and short journey as a Christian. There's the American Christian. And you're thinking, well, what's the American Christian? Well, the American Christian, just real quickly, is I must be a Christian because I'm born in the United States and I love baseball and I love hot dogs and I love apple pie and Chevrolet. And because I love those four things and I've watched that commercial, I must be a Christian because I'm an American. Now, are they actually Christians? No. But I wanted to point out that there's people that think they're Christians just because they're Americans. I was like, well, that doesn't work that way. You don't get the label of Christian because you're an American. That doesn't exist. There's a decision of acknowledgement and reception of the testimony of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what comes into play. So there's an American Christian. So what you'll understand is in the next segment, I'm going to define some of these other Christians. Listen to these other ones. There's the social Christian. I'm going to give you the history of social Christianity. There's the political Christian. You ever heard of a political Christian? Yeah, you have. You just did over the last 8 years. There's the religious Christian. Watch this one. Tell me if you've ever heard of this one. There's the situational Christian.
Yes.
Everybody, who doesn't understand that one, right?
That's like when the plane's going down, right?
Right. Yeah, all of a sudden, faith is real. And then there's the biblical Christian. So you got American, social, political, religious, situational, and biblical Christian. Are they all Christians? No. Do they think they are Christians? Some. What does the Bible say? Well, we'll cover that. You can get on that. But here's the key. The key is who paints the picture of who? Because if a social Christian, quote unquote, tries to paint the picture of a biblical Christian, then all the biblical Christians turn out to be nut jobs. Okay? That's how it goes. No different, by the way, than if a Democrat tries to define a Republican or a Republican tries to define a Democrat. No different if an unbeliever tries to define a believer or a believer tries to define an unbeliever. No different, by the way, if a Baptist should try and define a Pentecostal or a Pentecostal should try and define a Baptist. You know who can define a Baptist better than a Pentecostal? A Baptist. You know who can define a Pentecostal better than a Baptist? A Pentecostal. It's like, it's okay. You can understand that. But here's the question. Who paints the picture of the people we see? So what we're going to do is examine that. And I've already mentioned what the American Christian is from that point of view. And I want you to understand that because an American Christian is a little closer than you would like to appreciate that a person is a Christian because they're born in America. There is nothing anywhere in any capacity that gives anybody the ability or the authority to say that. But there is an actual thinking process that says I must be a Christian because here I am. And see, that's kind of like a geographical kind of mindset. You might have that same mindset in Russia if they have that. And by the way, don't laugh because the third largest concentration of Christians is in Russia. So don't be too quick. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take our break. We're going to come back, spend a little extra time giving you some definition. Because I want you to understand that there's good news, but sometimes it's from the worldly point of view. Got it? Get it? Okay, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ AM 1210, the Christian station in San Diego, California. Take a short break, then we're coming back. Don't go anywhere.
Tune for more of the David Spoon Experience on KPRZ, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Hey, KPRZ friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted KPRZ partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
Recently on Washington Watch Live, Tony Perkins shared his thoughts on the politicians who claim that America is no longer great.
We have leaders that convey a message that they hate America. You know, that America is no different than any other country on the face of the earth, in their view, as they go around and do apologies to country after country. And America is different. America is the only place where people from anywhere, if they play by the rules, can come here and live in a place that is free for the most part. We've lost a lot of those freedoms, and I would argue we're going to lose a lot more if we don't get serious about protecting our borders and our freedoms internally. But, you know, I think in large part of this, these people have been given a green light to hate America because we have leaders that act like they hate America.
You can find out more when you visit TonyPerkins.com.
What's your source of wisdom? Ultimately, my opinion matters little. And, sorry to say, neither does yours. This is Jim Garlow. But there is truth that does matter, biblical truth. Some will say, well, according to whose interpretation? The answer? According to the collective minds of authentic followers of God for the last 2,000 years. Others will argue, well, it's his interpretation against yours, right? No, the Bible was written plainly. Tearing up a baby in the womb is anti-biblical, for example. Redefining marriage is anti-biblical. Depriving people of expressing true creativity through excessive governmental control denies the integrity of the human spirit. It's anti-biblical. Economic taxes that break citizens' financial backs. It's anti-biblical. The Bible can spare us a lot of pain, personally and nationally, if we'll read it and follow it. There's more at jimgarlow.com.
Local, national, and heavenly talk for San Diego on the David Spoon Experience. From K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at K-Praise, AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Quick reminder, you want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com is an excellent way to do it. We started off the hour talking about the crushing rock, that one of the definitions for Jesus Christ is the crushing rock. Yeah, he loves people, but people that reject him don't turn out to do so well. Because in Jesus Christ, there is life, there is grace, there is mercy. And for those that need to understand, God, in his graciousness, in his holiness, could not connect with us because of our sinfulness. So when Jesus came, Jesus, being born of God, being born of man, is able to bridge the gap, the only one, the only mediator between God and mankind. And some people might say, well, if God loves us so much, why do we have to go through so many hard things? And their answer is because mankind told God, hey, buzz off, we'll run the world without you. That's what sin is, and now we've been resulting in that ever since. So the redemption of that is God trying to save us beyond our rebellion through Jesus Christ. All right, so one of the things we've been talking about is understanding that some people will reject Christ. It'll be a decision they make. They have the opportunity to make that decision. They'll make that decision, and they're making a decision to spend eternity apart from God. Just primarily because either the devil has kind of caught them off guard, or they just don't understand how much God is working on their behalf to try and get them to a better place. So in this process, I've kind of identified different people at different levels of defining themselves as Christians. And the first thing I talked about is, you know, people that think that they're a Christian just because they're born in a particular place. That doesn't exist anywhere in Scripture. And by the way, from a logic point of view, and we do this all the time, if you're sitting there saying, well, the Bible, it's full of all these contradictions. Well, one, I defy you with a master's in theological studies. I defy you to give me a contradiction that you can defend. How about that? And number two, if God can create the universe, he can write a book. So the real answer to that is don't go on the internet and troll for people to go look at all these contradictions, because every one of them is an intellectual insult. So don't do that. But if you're going to find it, read the Bible yourself and find it yourself. Don't listen to what other people say. I would tell people 1,000 times over, go read the Bible. You don't think what I'm saying is right? Go read it yourself. And let's see who comes out. Because God always wins. It's never one of those things. But so we talked about American Christian. I want to talk about a social Christian, political Christian, religious Christian, situational Christian, and biblical Christian. So let's get on it. A social Christian is a person who believes they're a Christian. But this comes from what's known as liberation theology, which was developed in the early 1960s. And the primary goal of liberation theology is this. It's the reformation of society, or to reform it in the direction of social and financial equality for all. Social Christianity is a mild form of socialism. It has always been and always will be. It is for the salvation and the continuance of humanity to attain it by financial equalities. The idea is to make everybody on the same playing field financial, and that will sustain humanity. So with that in mind, their core tenet, their ideology, is to try and eliminate material poverty, and that takes precedent over spiritual needs. And that's what a social Christian thinks. They don't think anything about eternal life the way they think about the earth being the place of justice. Even though God says it's a new heavens and a new earth, this one's already gone because of sin. But the social Christian mentally to them is there's no emphasis in the gospel of Jesus Christ, but there's an emphasis in a chicken in every pot, a cell phone in every hand, and an HD TV in every home. That's what they think is equality. That's where they think salvation is and redemption is for mankind. Let's just keep one thing up into our brains. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. There's no social equality in that statement at all. It's a false gospel. And in regards to false gospels, Galatians 1:8, if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. People are like, you're telling me that social Christians are going to be eternally condemned? They reject Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and try and make Jesus a model versus the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. They will spend eternity in hell. You bet. There's no movement off that. Nobody's moving around off that one. And they do forget about John 12:8, where Jesus said, the poor you will always have. They just don't believe him. It's like, wait, didn't Jesus say the poor you will always have? How is that going to work? The church does not and is not called to nor required to enforce some kind of financial equality in thinking that the government is the agency to do so. This is a Christianity that is without Jesus, which is like that doesn't exist. It's not real. It's fake. It's a lie. What about political Christianity? I'm going to do this one real fast. A person who claims a faith or maybe an Indian heritage. I'm one millionth of an Indian. Well, that's good. Anyway, claims an Indian heritage for political expediency. So here's the wisdom for political Christians. Here's what you can count on. If they're talking, they're lying. Just forget that one. It's like politics. Ready? Poly meaning many, ticks, blood-sucking insects. Got it. Okay, they're good. Religious, that's the people that say, I belong to church or a temple, whatever. I go twice a year because I have to go because they tell me I have to go. But God sure is lucky to see me. It's like, well, you go twice a year for what? Well, I go for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, or I go for Easter and Christmas. Either one. And boy, the church is lucky to have me. And I even slap a 20 in that plate. Yeah, so that's kind of like a fake religiosity. It kind of doesn't exist. Nobody really thinks that. But now, take that to the extreme, and you have this kind of Christian. This is the other under-religious. It's the churchianity Christian, which has rules, regulations, traditions, and everything more important than God himself. That's the other flip on the coin. So under-religious Christians, you have those that have no real religion, just attend twice a year and think they are. And then you have those that think, if you don't follow our teachings exactly, which are more important than the word of God, you see, those are two forms of the same thing. They're religious people who claim to be Christians. Yeah, not so much. That's all I'm going to say on that. Not so much. Nobody. But if you think that your man-made laws and traditions and even your historical traditions are more important than God's word, you have a very weak, ineffective God. Your God can't even write a book, apparently. My God can, because my God can speak the universe into existence. So I'm not sure what your God's doing. Then you have this Christian, and this is the one that Tugboat Todd mentioned. We talked about this. So he kind of spoke up. It's a situational Christian. This is the type of Christian that is a Christian when it suits them, when it's helpful. If it doesn't interfere with their plans, works out great. This is the fire insurance-y mentality Christian. So they're like thinking, well, I'll believe just in case the whole thing turns out to be real, but I don't really think it's real, so I'm not going to do anything in my life that's going to change that. But if I'm dying or about to die, I'll cash in that policy, and I'll use my fire insurance. It's like, yeah. See, but that's not real Christianity, is it? See, the point I'm trying to make is American Christianity is not a real Christianity. Social Christianity is exactly a lie, a false gospel. That's not real Christianity. I don't care how social you think you are. A political Christian is nothing of the sort. So let's just move that on to the next issue. Religious Christian, somebody that just barely touches church or church is more important than God. Well, that's not good either. A situational Christian, they're just banking on that they can pull it off with 5 minutes left to go before the Lord rings the bell. And then there's the biblical Christian. And you're thinking, well, what's that? It's the person that uses the Bible as the source of authority in establishing a relationship with God. It's understanding that Christianity in and of itself is a living relationship with a living God made possible by the redeeming work of the Lord Jesus Christ and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. That's what real Christianity is. And I know people say it all the time. Well, that's just a religion. Well, the word religion means a set of rules and standards that man has established. Bible-believing born-again Christians believe that the Bible is written by the Lord, men carried along by God, and that they use that, and there is no set standard of everybody goes at this time, everybody wears this, everybody says this. There are a few core elements to our faith which we are immovable on. God is the King of the universe. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. We are sinners. He died for our sins, was buried in the ground. 3 days later, he rose again. He's the right hand of the Father. And he will come again. And in the meantime, the Holy Spirit indwells us as we walk towards advancing the kingdom of God. These are some things that we're not. How he comes back, when he comes back, how often you go to church, none of that's in play. That you believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of living God, that's in play. That you accept the testimony, acknowledge the testimony, surrender the testimony, that's in play. All those other identities as Christians, American, social, political, religious, situational, are any of those people saved? I'm sure in those groups there are some people saved, but by and large in mass, they are not. Is everybody saved who's a biblical Christian? No, because I think some of those people are pretty good at faking it too. It just has to be real, folks. And you know who's going to know? Not your neighbor. God. God is going to know. Is it real? God will know. You can fool anybody you want. But when you die, you will face God. And he's the one you're going to have to push it by. So it's in your hands. What kind of Christian do you want to be? Fake and humming along? Or one when you get there where you hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Come into the things which your master has prepared for you. Make a choice. Just make a good choice. All right, when we come back, we're just going to cover, just close this out a little bit and just ask the question, is there a better gospel, Dave? Is there something better? You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on K-Praise AM 1210, the Christian station in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
Local, national, and heavenly talk coming up on the David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
Many marriages end because of ingratitude. As time goes by, couples forget to appreciate the little things in life. Today, we'll look at ways husbands can show their gratitude. This is Truth Itself. I'm Bob Dittmer. Author Rachel DeCastro says wives should notice and appreciate the things their husband does for them, rather than focusing on negatives, and then offers 15 qualities from husbands that are worth noticing. Here they are. He trusts you, meaning he doesn't doubt your actions. He is loyal to you. He has nothing to hide. You have access to everything in his life and know what he does. He knows your tastes, your favorite chocolate, the kind of movies you watch, and your hobbies. He gives you some time to yourself. If you want to go out with your friends, get a haircut, or watch a movie alone, he doesn't care. He remembers holidays. He knows and prepares something special for the holidays that are important to you. He helps you be better. He does not accept any self-hate talk you throw at yourself. Instead, he helps you build confidence. He laughs at your jokes, even when they aren't funny. He believes you and knows you'll be honest with him. He laughs with you. He values your feelings and always takes into account how you feel. You feel loved by him. He makes your complicated life easier by offering solutions and seeks to avoid conflict. He helps you with housework. He consoles you when you're sad. And finally, he adores your smile. DeCastro reminds wives no one is perfect. The important thing to remember is that he tries to be better every day. As healthcare costs continue to rise, many Christians are feeling the pinch. If you've been forced to choose between high health insurance premiums and huge tax penalties, it's time you considered a truly affordable alternative, MediShare. Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your healthcare. MediShare is not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical healthcare. The phone number is 844-49-BIBLE. That's 844-49-BIBLE. You can see these stories and more on our website, truthitself.com. Truth Itself, news that impacts your faith, family, and country.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at K-Praise, AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. I'm having a email war with Russell Shubin right now. We're trying to see who can get back to one another in the shortest amount of characters. And so I thought I was winning, but he really came in with a good one. He did half a smile. I think I just lost that one. Okay, folks, if you want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com. Some people have left me a message. I did get the message and promise tomorrow to get back to you and give you a chance to talk and talk a little bit further about what you are trying to get some information on. I'm always willing to help do the best I can. I can tell you this right now, so this is good. I do not have all the answers. I just have a small relationship with the one who does. That's all. And, you know, perhaps my perspective can help. I don't know. All right, so here's the question on all of this gospel material that we're talking about, these different kind of Christians. A question could be asked, do we, in fact, then need to preach a better gospel because there's a social gospel out there, a political gospel out there, an American gospel out there, there's a religious gospel out there, a situational gospel out there, and a biblical gospel. Do we need to preach a better gospel? No. A better gospel? How can you get a better gospel than we have? It's the greatest story ever. It's the greatest declaration ever to mankind. We just need to preach the gospel. We don't need to preach a better gospel. We need to preach the gospel better. In other words, we need to do it more actively, more currently. We need to be declaring a better picture of the Father, because in that one, we've done a really poor job. I mean, some of us are representing God like he's a sheriff waiting to shoot people for making mistakes. Other people represent God like he's an old man in the rocking chair. Eh, well, kids, well, be kids. You know, come on. Or he's a gas on Pluto. Like, really? Come on. He's none of those things. He's the perfect parent. The other, and if your parent is not perfect, that does not mean God is not perfect. It means your parent isn't perfect. And the other thing that we do, I think, poorly, we need to declare a better picture. We need to share a better eternity. And by that, I mean this. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, rather, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. This is a quote out of Isaiah 64:4. Here's the bottom line. Our eternity is so cool, you cannot even imagine how cool it is. It's beyond that. So now think of the coolest thing you can come up with and recognize eternity is better than that, because no heart is even imagining the things that God has prepared. But when we share about what eternity is going to be like, people get this picture that will be around sitting on clouds, playing harps, reading magazines from dentist's offices. I was like, no wonder people are like going, I don't want to do that. Well, neither do I. So we're doing a lousy job sharing, a kind of a lousy job declaring, and then we're doing a lousy job caring. So those are the three things we're doing. You got that, tugboat tie? Got that? All three. Declaring, sharing, and caring. And we need to be caring more about others than ourselves. It's the hardest thing to do. But we need to be a little less selfish, a little less selfish, a little more selfless And somebody like me, I need to be a tad bit less jerky, too. I mean, it's true. I need the prayer just like you need the prayer, just like everybody needs the prayer. We need some help in this. We do. But we can do a better job declaring who God is. We can do a much better job sharing how cool eternity is going to be. And we can do a better job caring. The problem is that God seems to get the blame for all the bad and no praise for any good. I mean, that's really what's going on. And so we got to stop doing that. We got to do a better job of these things. And yeah, we use the Bible as our truth. If you really get into bibliology, you will absolutely, your mind will absolutely be blown how that in all of the translations, all of the historical evidence, that the differential from Scripture is less than 0.1% over thousands of years. You just can't, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. It's just some great stuff. You really want a book to read that will be educational and challenging, More Than a Carpenter is right up there by Josh McDowell, as well as his Evidence that Demands a Verdict. And no, I don't get any kickback from Josh McDowell. He's been on the show. It's a delight to have. But he just wrote a great book. And it's like, if you want to get a book that really kind of helps to settle some things, I'd suggest first More Than a Carpenter, because it's just really effective and small and cheap. You can get it for like $6 on Amazon or at a used bookstore. All right? All right. So does that make sense? I kind of went around the robin, but I wanted you to understand what we're talking about. There's a lot of depth here, but we need to do a better job declaring, sharing, and caring. We're Bible-believing, born-again Christians, so let's use that. I mean, we do have the greatest hope ever given, and too many have charged it into some kind of mandate, either to try and make money or to gain power or to do this. One superstar, his name is Jesus Christ. Everybody else, not going to do it. And by the way, just for reference sake, no person and no government has a heaven to put you in. So if you want to go to God's house, you go in the way he tells you. That's why Jesus is called the door. Get that? I hope you make that connection. That's really important. Get that, please, by all means. All right, that was really good. Great job, Tugboat Todd. Excellent, excellent work. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on K-Praise AM 1210, the Christian station in San Diego, California. Taking a 22-hour break, then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then. I can do anything. I've got strength.
The David Spoon Experience on K-Praise 1210 AM KPRZ.